that I would begin this talk with a passage from the Dhammapada. Very simple. Words of the Buddha, who said, "They awakened, always wide awake, Gautama's disciples, whose mindfulness both day and night is constantly immersed in the body." Gautama is the Buddha, of course. "They awake, always wide awake, Gautama's disciples, whose mindfulness both day and night is constantly immersed in the body." I remember a few years ago, I was at the monastery Wat Metta, and I was there for quite a while, and sort of it was like the last couple of days I was there, and I was like, why am I doing this? You know, what's my practice all about? You know, and I mean, it was this sort of a sincere reflection. It wasn't like, why am I doing this crazy thing? It was more of like, okay, you know, you're really putting, you know, what do we want? Where can this lead? What's this about? You know, and it just sort of was really clear. It was like one of those moments of insight, I guess. You know, it's like, I want to end my suffering. You know, that's why I'm here. That's why I want to do this. I want to end my suffering. And that's what this path is. It's a path that leads to the end of suffering. That's why we're here, to end our suffering. So we come to the end of our suffering on this path, and what leads to the end of suffering is wisdom. So wisdom is really the cause that leads to the end of suffering. So we seek to develop wisdom. It's a path of wisdom. That's why this is sometimes called insight meditation. It's a path of wisdom. It's a path of insight. It's really important, of course, to understand what we mean by wisdom. The wisdom that we're talking about on this path, the Buddha's wisdom, if you will, the wisdom of the path, is different than what we often think about when we think about wisdom. Or we could say that it's different than the way the culture, the Western culture, typically thinks about what wisdom is. Or the way that we might have been brought up to think about what wisdom is, or knowledge, which is that, you know, wisdom is a product of thinking. It's a product of thinking, of gathering of information, and our level of wisdom is based on the intellectual knowledge that we've gained, and our ability to think and solve problems. So, you know, and this kind of really, this notion really took great flight with Descartes, right, who said, "I think, therefore I am." There's a, I don't know if anybody's ever read Antonio Damasio. He's written a lot about neuroscience and the body, and he wrote a book a few years ago called Descartes' Error. It's a great, great book. So this idea of wisdom being this intellectual knowledge, you know, that we attain through study, you know, all of the subjects we took in high school and college and graduate school. And then this analytical knowledge, we use the thinking mind to figure things out, you know. So it's that wisdom that the mathematician has, or the person who's adept at computer science, or the person who, you know, in business can figure things out. So this is the wisdom, you know, we could say the wisdom in the head, the wisdom of the thinking mind. The wisdom of the Dharma is not the wisdom of the thinking mind or the wisdom in the head. It's the wisdom that's found in the body. So this is a stark difference, and it's so important to learn to understand, you know, and to really understand that in and of itself is kind of an insight. It really only comes through giving up our reliance on the wisdom that we've been taught to procure through knowledge and study, and begin little by slowly to shift to cultivating the wisdom that we find in the body. So wisdom is found in the body. Wisdom is found in the body. So it's you mean you can think about this in terms of the geography of the body. You know, there's this Western intellectual wisdom that's sort of from the head up, and then this, the Buddha's wisdom, this Eastern wisdom, which is found in the body. I used to work, when I worked in business, with this guy who did OD, organizational development, you know, and he'd say, just look at the Western businessman. it's true. Why, you know, it's like the head. You know, I can think of one Western businessman. The head is always kind of like this. You know, and look at the, you know, the Eastern. You know, they're always down in the hara. You know, down in the body. So the Buddha's wisdom, the wisdom of the path, is found in the body. This is said to be a greater wisdom. You know, that is one kind of wisdom, that Eastern, that Western wisdom, the wisdom of, you know, that we attain through our PhD and our masters and getting good grades in school. That's one kind of wisdom. This is a different kind of wisdom, and it's said to be a greater wisdom. It's a wisdom that transcends intellectual wisdom. So it's a quality of knowing, you know. It's not a quality of, it's not like a memorization of facts, or even, you know, trying to figure things out, the ability to figure things out. It's a quality of knowing. You know, it's a quality of knowing that really transcends what we know in the mind and in the head. So sometimes it's called a noble wisdom. It's a noble wisdom because it's the wisdom that leads to the end of suffering, or a liberating wisdom. It's what liberates us from our suffering. So I thought about three ways that this wisdom manifests for us, three ways that we can kind of think, because, you know, we have to really start to learn to rely on this wisdom and turn to it. Now, our ability to be able to do that, of course, depends a lot on concentration and being in the body. But once we're in the body, then we learn to rely on this wisdom, and we turn to this wisdom more and more. So this the first kind of knowing that we experience in the body that I'll talk about is what I would call knowing the moment. Knowing the moment, or the wisdom the wisdom of knowing the moment, or the wisdom that comes, or the wisdom that is knowing the moment, you know, really knowing the moment, being in the moment, knowing this moment that we're in. So we could say it's a felt sense of the moment. So present moment awareness is you know, an awareness of the present moment, to really know the present moment, right? To really know that, I mean, this is our life. So we could really say it's, you know, the wisdom of being alive is found in the body. Right? It's found in the body. But to really know the moment, you know, it's a felt sense. It's a felt experience. It goes beyond the recognition of sense experience. You know, the moment is, okay, I can, each being who's here, and, you know, the Buddha, and the table, and the, you know, the sounds and the smells and the temperature. It goes actually beyond the recognition of sense experience. It goes beyond perception. That's the wisdom of the mind. You know, that's a human being, that's Joan, you know, that's a recorder, that's a lamp. You know, that's the wisdom of perception. When we connect to this wisdom in the body that knows the moment, we know and understand the moment in the body. In the body. So right now, as we sit here, you know, when we connect to this wisdom, and, you know, we're all connected to it to a certain extent, you know, in the silence, in the stillness, when we connect it into the body, we really connect to it. And that's why we seek to come into the body to know that wisdom. So, you know, there's knowing the different images and the sounds different sights that we're seeing, and there's the thinking about it, and the different perceptions that we have. And then there's that truth of knowing that comes in a felt way. So our experience of this moment that we know in a felt way is includes how we know this moment given the ways that we've known this space and these people over days, weeks, months, for many of us years, some of us decades. You know? So my experience of you all in the moment isn't just this experience of you as a visual form, or my experience of you, how you are in this moment. My experience of you in this moment is that felt experience includes all the interactions and all the knowing that I've had with each one of you throughout the time I've known you all, right? So I look at Kate, I've known her for close to 20 years probably, you know? It's like when I see her and my experience of her in the moment, when I really come into the moment and into the body, you know, is that felt experience includes all the experience that I've had with her. We know that in the moment. Or you could even just say this space, right? It's like many of you have been here many times, you know? So, you know, your felt experience of this space includes all the different classes and things that people have said in this space, and people who've come to this space over time, all the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the difficult, the joyful, you know, that's all part of your felt experience of being here in this moment. And not only, of course, you know, your experience of this space in this moment, or the different people here, is not only, you know, so that experience of this moment includes having been here before and your experience of people who've been here before, but it includes really, and it includes, you know, your experience of having done classes like this and all of that. I mean, that's a felt experience you have. You know that when you're, you know, when you're here. It's not like, it doesn't feel like the first time I've ever been here. No, the way that I am in this moment, my experience of this moment is part of a process of life that we're experiencing right now, right? You know, parent sees its child, when its child gets to be older, you know, you just, oh, this is a 15-year-old kid. No, this is a kid I've seen, I've grown up, I've fed this kid, I've done all these different things, you know? Parents who are here know that, right? That's your experience of that person, of that child. But your experience of this moment also includes all of your experience in your life. You know, this moment is really just, you know, this is where you are in your path, and this moment includes everything else that's ever happened on that path. It's like if you were walking along the road, you know, your experience of walking along the road would be affected by, you know, if you've walked 2 miles, you know, your experience of having walked down that road for 2 miles is in that moment, including those 2 miles you walked before you got to that moment. So there's a felt sense. Our felt experience includes a lot more than what's happening right here in this moment. So, you know, we become to know that. So, and because that's the truth of our experience. So the more that we're in the body and we can connect to that felt experience, we connect to this feeling of being alive, being part of this process of being alive. I mean, you can feel that, right? You can feel that experience of being alive. We're part of this process, this movement of life. I mean, this really speaks to the Buddha's definition of what mindfulness is, something I kind of always wondered about. You know, one of the ways the Buddha defines mindfulness, and this is a quote from one of the suttas, he says, there is the case where the monk is mindful, highly meticulous, remembering and able to call to mind even things that were done and said long ago. You know? So, you know, I always used to think, well, that means you can remember what happened, you know, when you were in fourth grade. No, what it means is just what we're talking about. Your experience of mindfulness in this moment, when you put this mind on this moment, it includes a felt remembrance of everything that's ever happened to you and when you were here in this moment and when you were with the people who were here. So our experience of mindfulness is a felt sense. It's a felt sense. It's a felt sense of the experience. You know, I was reading a couple of days ago something that Matisse said, you know, and he said, you know, I don't paint, you know, what I'm seeing there. I mean, my experience of what I'm seeing when I look out the window, think of his paintings when you look through the window, the door, it's just, you know, my experience of looking through that window is a felt experience. That's what I paint, what I feel. That's what the Impressionists did. See, that was an evolution of understanding over, you know, beyond just that exact representation of experience. You know, they came to understand as their minds and hearts evolved that your experience of the moment is a felt experience, is a felt experience. So he said, I simply put down colors which render my sensation. You know, the sensation I'm experiencing in the moment. Nietzsche talked about this. You know, he said, you know, think about your experience of music, right? You know, and think about your favorite song or favorite concerto or whatever. Now describe it. It's like you can't describe music or art using words, you know, that kind of fabrication, or you know, that really comes from the thinking mind, because it transcends that. It's a felt experience. There's something that transcends what the mind can understand about music, right? I mean, think about it like a song. So many songs bring up so many things for us, right? But even just the experience of a song in and of itself, you know, is much deeper than an intellectual understanding of it. And that's what we come to know when we develop this felt sense of the body. So the second knowledge is what I would call knowing our experience, particularly, specifically, the experience of body and mind. You know, knowing our experience of body and mind. So when we're able to be in the body, of course, we're able to understand the physical experience of being in the body, the different sensations in the body, the physical sensations, but more importantly, we're able to understand our experience with regard to the mind, with regard to the mind, because what we're asked to do is understand our experience of mind as it manifests in the body. So this is something that we talk about a lot. So if you want to understand your experience of anxiety, you know, what we have to do is be able to feel that anxiety in the body, be able to be sensitive to it, be able to be sensitive to it, you know, to see what it is, to see that, oh, it's changing, it's moving, oh, it's arising out of conditions, oh, it's just part of my experience. To be able to experience that experience, that sensation of anxiety in the body, and then understand our relationship to it. You know, well, what happens when I cling to that? What does that feel like? That's not an intellectual notion. It's like, what does that feel like when I hold on to that? What does that suffering feel like? So we understand the Four Noble Truths in the body. The Buddha says the first noble truth, there is suffering. That's not an intellectual analysis. Oh yeah, there's suffering. No, that's something, you know, as Tanjev says, that's an activity. You know, you're saying, okay, there's suffering here. I can feel it. I can experience it in the body. Insight is a sense experience, you know, and the more insight you have, it's because you're more aware of your sense experience. You're more aware of the sensations, Just like Matisse is aware of those sensations that enables him to render that painting. And then the third kind of wisdom is, this is what I would call our innate wisdom. Okay, so we learn to come out of the head into the body, and when we come into the body, then ultimately, you know, particularly when concentration begins to deepen, you know, our awareness just centers right here in the heart, or what the Thais call the citta. You know, this is the place of innate wisdom. This is the wisdom center, not up here, right in here. So this is where you actually connect to your innate wisdom, you know, what Ajahn Mahabodhi called the knowing quality. You know, the knowing quality. You know, it's right here, the truth, the knowing quality is right here, or what Ajahn Chah called the one who knows, it's right here inside of you. But in order to be able to connect to that innate wisdom that you all have it. It's just a matter, it's the same as the Buddha's wisdom. He learned to connect into it, but the way into it is through the body. It's through the body, it's in the body, it's in the body. Ultimately, this is why, you know, we make this journey into the body so that we can connect to our innate wisdom. And this is where we understand the truth. You know, right here is where we understand what happiness is and where happiness is and what we need to do to know happiness. That's all right here. It's already right there. You know, on the most blatant levels of what actions do I need to take in my life, and the most microscopic area of is it really useful to, well, we could say, is it really useful to go after those thoughts? Now, the answer is right in here. That's why I say, don't answer that question. You know, try to understand that question here. Everybody wants to, I know it's not useful. Yeah, intellectually, you know, that's not going to get us anywhere, that intellectual. It'll get us a little bit wheres. But where we want to get to, you need to know the answer to that question right here. You know, right in here, we know. We know that right in here, we know that trying to hold on to anger and anxiety and the disliking of certain sensations, you know, clinging is going to lead to suffering. Right in here, we know. We know that if we let go, there's peace, there's happiness. You know, we try to figure things out. You know, we try to figure out how to be happy, right? What do I need to do? We try to figure out what we need to do to be happy. And if we can't figure it out, what do we usually do? We ask somebody else to tell us what they think we need to do to be happy. You know, but the understanding, the wisdom that indicates what we need to do to be happy is in the heart, is in the heart. The answers are in the body and in the heart. You know, I was struggling with, I still am, struggling with, you know, personal decisions and some issues that I have to, or that I've been thinking about and struggling with, or that I want to try to come to some understanding about, you know, and I've been thinking about it a lot, you know, and well, that does really cause suffering, you know. So a few days ago I said, you know, maybe what we need to do is not think about it and just, you know, just kind of rest here, just kind of rest here, you know, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And sort of the answer just came up. Well, you need to see what the most loving thing is. Oh, shit, that's what I need to do. You know? It was so clear, so simple, right? And, you know, and then it was like, you need to understand what the most, you need to see and do what the most loving thing is for yourself. For yourself. For yourself. Because we want to do all these other things for all the other people in our lives. So, you know, the answer is right in here. The Buddha said, don't go by what anybody else says. Don't go by your thinking mind. See for yourself. Know the truth inside of yourself. It's right there. It's right there inside of yourself. But you have to get there. You have to get there. You know, the Dharma, that understanding, is in the body, in the heart. The Buddha said, simply talking a lot doesn't maintain the Dharma. Whoever, though he's heard next to nothing, sees the Dhamma through his body. He's not heedless of the Dhamma, he's the one who maintains the Dhamma. I love that line. You know, we see the Dhamma through our bodies. The truth, all that wisdom is in our bodies. So, you know, we really need to understand the importance of it. You know, it's an understanding that we develop. You know, and the more we understand the importance of it, I mean, for me, it's been a process of understanding the importance of making this journey into the body. And, you know, that's why days like today, for me, are like so important. You know, so important. But I think that because I wanted, be able to do that, because I know that that's my way to happiness. It's like, you know, it's like, I want to be happy. I want to be free from suffering. That's why I'm here. I mean, I had just like, you know, just kind of going out for a little bit at lunch. It's sort of like, I mean, the world is such chaos. You go out onto 14th Street. I mean, this is this room, you know, for 7 hours today. It's like this, it's amazing. It's a miracle. It is a miracle. It's like this little space of peace and quiet and stillness. And, you know, and it, you know, it's people in their bodies and connecting into their hearts, just in this little room, right here on 14th Street, this little pinprick, this little oasis. So our practice, mindfulness of the breathing, mindfulness of the body, beginning with mindfulness of the breathing, you know, we're making this effort to come into the body. You know, it's a challenge to get into the body. You know, our habitual patterns are taking us out of the body, right? Our habitual patterns are putting us in this place of that's not present moment awareness. You know, out of the body, we live in the head. You know, we live in the head, what the Buddha called becoming, states of becoming. You know, it's a non-real state. The Tibetans call it a dream state. So we're either engaged in a process of change, chasing after sense experience and sense pleasure, or we're engaged in the narratives. A lot of the narratives are about our chase after sense experience. So, you know, we live in the head. We live in the head. The Buddha said the holy life is lived for the abandoning of becoming. So, you know, through mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of breathing, we make this effort to abandon states of becoming, come out of the head and come into the body. That's our practice. Now, we start that in the beginner's class, right? The first beginner's class. All right, put your mind on the breath. Start to go into thoughts, come back to the breath. Come back to the breath. That's what we're doing today. Come into the body, in the meditation, in the yoga. Come into the body, come into the body. We're making this effort to be present, to be in the body, to come into the body. Ultimately, so that we can come into this place of wisdom. I mean, it's just being in the body in and of itself is more peaceful. But ultimately, we come into this place of wisdom so that we can find freedom from suffering. Now, the big problem that we have is, you know, our perception of the body is that it's an inhospitable place. You know, we associate the body with pain. Because the inclination of our awareness when we do look at the body is towards the pain in the body, the physical pain. You know, that's how we, when we think about our bodies, we think about how they're in pain or what we don't like about the way that they feel. You know, it's like you walk down the street, you know, you don't say, oh, I feel a great sense of ease and well-being in my body. You do if you're coming to our classes, maybe. But most people aren't doing that. Most people are saying, it's so hot, it's so humid, I feel like this, I feel like that. What we find even more foreboding, or, you know, what really makes the body, you know, a territory that we find, you know, we sort of associate with pain is the mental pain. You know, because, you know, we experience, you know, all the stress and the dissonance and the suffering and the mental pain in the body. That's more intense than the physical pain, really. Physical pain, the Buddha said, is like nothing compared to the mental pain that you feel here. And that's what our minds incline. How do you feel? Oh, I feel terrible. Oh, I'm stressed. You know, this is what we're feeling. And so this is how we look at the body. You know, our relationship to the body is adversarial. So what we try to do, of course, is avoid the body, escape the body. So meditation is a practice of making the journey to the body, and it's a process, right? It's a gradual process, a gradual awakening, you know, an awakening to the body, an awakening to our felt sense, this experience of being human, an awakening to our wisdom. You know, and the Buddhist path is a very compassionate path of doing that. Find one spot that feels good. This is where you begin. All right, the rest of the body feels like crap. This hurts, that hurts. There's emotional pain here. There's this stress. There's one little spot where the breath feels okay. Put your mind there. That's how you begin. You begin with this one little spot, and you learn to pay attention to that. Of course, that's not so easy, right? You know, it's like, we don't really even want to do that. You know, we start to be able to do that, but we only get so far just trying to be aware of that one spot. So what does he do? He says, learn to make that spot feel really good. Really make that spot feel really comfortable and pleasurable. Oh, okay, once we do that, the mind is like, yeah, because our mind's inclined to pleasure. This is the nature of our mind. You know, this is a hospitable spot. Now it feels good. You know what? Now I even want to stay here a little bit longer. Like, I could stay with the breath a little bit for many years. Once I learned to make this spot feel good, I could stay with the breath a lot longer. My meditation doubled in terms of, I mean, I don't know how to quantify, but it got twice as good, you know, in terms of my ability to be able to stay in the body. And then, so then you can really start to stay in the body when the breath feels good. And then he does another thing. He says, now take this pleasant feeling that you're experiencing here, this breath energy, and spread it throughout the whole body. Find the places first in the body that feel good and go there, and then go into the neutral areas, and then go into the painful areas. So the whole body is glowing with this easeful quality of energy, and we spread it throughout the whole body. And the mind becomes more and more inclined. Oh, this feels really good. Now I really want to come into the body. The mind stays more and more in the body, and we learn to maintain that in all postures, not just in the meditation. So even when we're out there in the world, more and more and more, we come into the body. We come into the body. We come into the body. So this easeful and pleasant abiding is critical. You know, it's critical so that we can make the journey into the body, so the mind will stay in the body. That's why we do this. So this is our practice, mindfulness of breathing, and mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of breathing. We make this journey into the body. You know, more and more we're in the body, more and more we're awake. We're awake, we're connected to the wisdom in the body. More and more we're awake, we're in this felt sense. This experience of being alive, it's extraordinary. You know, when you really, and it's kind of in part what I was alluding to before, when you really get into that felt sense of, this is incredible. You know, it's like I have a felt sense of all you beautiful people, you know, and this beautiful, that's right here, and now I know it because I'm in the body. More and more we come into this place of wisdom, into the heart, the citta. You know, we understand. You know, we come into this place of love and compassion and joy. More and more we make this path to true happiness. So let's just close our eyes for a second.